Thank you very much, Governor.
Thank you very much, Governor. I heard the first part of your news conference in which you remarked that I was up when you called at 8:30. Actually, I was up much earlier than that, trying to fix my phone, which hasn't rang for 3 days. I knew there was something wrong with it, and finally we got it fixed this morning. Permit me to say that no one could be honored more than Governor Carter honored B and Joan this morning. To be selected as a vice presidential running mate at any time is a high honor and a great challenge. But particularly to be selected by this remarkable and good man who's brought so much hope and unity to this country, who will be elected President of the United States, but more importantly, will be elected on principle and will bring this country together and put us on the road that we all want to go on, the road of principle and decency. I've had a chance to come to know Governor Carter these past few weeks, and the people of America should know that he's an uncommon man, terribly gifted, committed, skilled, experienced, ready,
a good man.
But above all, a good man.
And
I'm proud and honored to be a part of this team. Joan and I commit ourselves to Governor and Mrs. Carter,
to
the Democratic Party, but more than that, to the people of America, to give all that we have to the election of this great man, and to assist him in every way possible in what I know will be one of the greatest presidencies in American history. Governor, my children, our children are coming up shortly, and they want to know that each of them have already taken on an assignment. Teddy will handle all the dirt bike riders in America. My daughter will handle all the horse ladies and horsemen in America. And my younger son, William, will handle all the football players, wrestlers, and lacrosse players.
Good luck.
Thank you. The question was the nature of the vice presidency under the Carter presidency. We had a long talk, and the first question we discussed at Plains was his concept of the vice presidency in mind. And that was my chief concern. I was not interested in a ceremonial post. I was very pleased to see and to hear that he intends to use his vice president in a very broad range of duties and responsibilities, both in domestic and foreign policy. We did not get into specifics, but it was clear to me that the governor intended to use the vice presidency in the fullest possible sense. Well, there's a whole host of areas, and I think I'll defer answering that question until the governor and I have had a chance to discuss it first. Yes.
The governor has always said that he wanted someone who was compatible with him, but he did not intend that person be subservient to him. Therefore, I want to ask you whether there are some areas in which you differ with him on some positions, and if so, are you going to speak up about it?
Well, the governor and I think are very compatible. We had a long and searching conversation, a candid conversation, over a broad range of issues, the role of the vice president, federal-state relations, governmental reorganization, defense policy, education, a whole range of questions came up in our discussion. I thought we agreed on all of them. There may be some differences, but I felt a very strong identity on the issue, but more than that, a compatibility in terms of personal relationship. They sound very well as you.
Speeches over the years and the governor's position are not quite the same thing.
Well, you should know that my position has always been that I have not been an advocate of busing to achieve racial balance. What I've resisted is the repeal of the 14th Amendment that prohibits discrimination in our school system. I think that's the only honorable and legal position that can be taken. A sensitive administration that understood this problem and was trying to solve it rather than exploit it could work closely with the records to achieve the elimination of discrimination and at the same time to sharply reduce the need for busing and the other disruptions that interrupt education.
He wanted a complete outline of what the duties would be during the coming campaign. I don't have the slightest idea.
Senator Dale and I will be meeting personally probably tomorrow.
I haven't put a specific time yet on my schedule, but I'm sure we can work it out. Maybe for lunch. And following that, Senator Mondale and his staff have already agreed to meet in depth with Hamilton Jordan, my own campaign manager, and my other staff members
to get a sharing of responsibility. I would like to have already instructed
Hamilton Jordan to ask Senator Mondale and his staff to put forward their own proposal about what areas of the nation he should visit most, which particular state he would find most compatible with his own campaigning, and to share responsibilities for major events like conventions and so forth. But that is the best outline I can give you now. Those details will be worked out only in the future after our staffs have had time to correlate our mutual commitment to the campaign.
The New York Times reported that at various times you had a first choice of other people for vice president. You mentioned that in your book.
It's Bob Strasser.
That's a question that I prefer not to answer.
Of the people that you might say finalists in my own deliberations, which ones have I actually decided at one time or another would be the best? I have to tell you that Senator Mondale is the fourth one. Had I been called upon the day after the Ohio, New Jersey, and California primaries, I would have made one choice. Later, I decided on a different choice. Later, after seeing poll results, I decided on a third choice. And then I decided to wipe the poll results and everything out of my mind and just choose the person that I thought would be the best to lead this country and the most compatible with me. And the movement towards Senator Mondale was almost inexorable. But I would rather not call it names. But what I've just told you is a fact. And I think it shows that the long and very careful deliberative procedure paid very rich dividends for me and for the Democratic Party and for the country.
Who influenced you most in your final
decision? Senator Mondale.
Governor Carter, could you tell us something about the sequence of events when you finally made up your mind, who you informed first and among your staff and family?
The question is about the final sequence of events this morning when I informed anyone about my decision.
I had asked the six senators to expect a call from me as soon after 8:30 as I could reach them.
I told my wife, and she was the first person.
About two minutes before I placed the first call.
No one else up to that moment knew whom I was going to choose. And then I told Greg Snyder, my staff person, to call Senator Mondale on the phone. The Secret Service was present. They had asked me to give them an hour and a half notice, if possible, about my choice to make security arrangements. They had previously located all the potential nominees, had the phone numbers, and had made contact with them in a precautionary way. And they dispatched their own coverage to Senator Mondale. Following that, different members of my staff came in, Betty Rainwater, Jody Powell, Hamilton Jordan, and others. And I informed them as they came in.
I might say that later in the day,
there will be available to the press
description a written description of the procedure that has been followed for the last 4 or 5 months in the selection. I thought it might be valuable for historical purposes, and our staff has taken some time to put together the sequence of events and those persons who were involved in the selection process.
Turbo, do you think there's going to be any serious backlash against this ticket in your region of the country, the South?
The question is, will there be any serious backlash against this ticket in the South?
I saw in the Atlanta newspaper
before I came up here
when the Georgia delegation
was polled, Senator Mondale was their preference. I saw in the newspaper, a different paper, that when the Alabama delegation was polled, among those who responded, Senator Mondale was their preference. I want to make sure that Senator Mondale goes to the South Georgia swamps and the South Texas and to the lower part of Illinois and to some of the other areas of the country
who
might not be known as well. And I think as he presents himself to the people in the South or in the more conservative regions of our country, they will define, as I have, a remarkable compatibility between his stand on sensitive issues and my own, on issues concerning defense, on issues concerning gun control, on the issue of busing. There's no discernible difference between his own attitude and mine. I think that the people themselves will find his stand on issues completely compatible with their own as much as they find my own.
Sir, can you tell us, because we've heard some stories,
a little bit about what you did
to prepare for the trip to Plains and what you learned about Governor Carter's family and how you...
What did I do to prepare for the visit to Plains, Georgia?
The first thing I did was to read the most remarkable book ever written,
called Why Not the Best.
and I found every word
absolutely brilliant and compelling.
And then I read, as I thought I should,
many of his speeches, his positions, and so on, by way of preparing for our discussion. Well, I had been all over this town for two solid days,
and
no meeting was safe,
and
I decided that enough was enough. Also, I did not want to be in the position of appearing to be crowding
the decision
that Governor Carter was going to make
with respect to his vice presidency.
There is nothing more personal
and perhaps more subjective
than the judgment of the kind that Governor Carter had to make.
And I wanted the choice to be his choice.
If it was to be me, I would be highly honored.
If it were someone else,
I would support the ticket fully. But I did not want to campaign for it or appear to be campaigning for the job.
Mr. Mondale, you held office until the very last minute. Did you held office, Governor Carter, until the very last minute? Was there anything, sir, that happened this week that made you change the presidential election?
No, not this week.
Neither one of you gentlemen were identified with the urban areas of the country where large numbers of population are. Is that going to be a problem in the campaign?
Well, I beg to differ with you. Neither of us were identified with urban areas.
When I went to Plains,
the governor asked what I thought of the town. I said, it looks big to me,
because I was born in a town
of Salon of 400.
But for many years,
Joan and I have lived in Minneapolis and St. Paul, one of the larger metropolitan areas.
For eight years, I served in the Housing and Urban Development Subcommittee of the Senate Banking Committee,
and a good deal of my Senate career has been involved dealing with the whole range of problems
in
the
all
center cities and all the municipalities
at the local level in this country.
Senator, we know how the governor feels about this question, but I want to ask you if you feel that than you are qualified and called upon to serve to be President of the United States.
This will be the last question.
I hope and pray that I am. And I'm moved to be, whether I feel I would be qualified to be president. I hope and pray that I would be. I don't know, but I hope and I pray that I could. I am heartened by the judgment of Governor Carter and his confidence in me. I'm going to work as hard as I can to elect him president. I fully expect him to be president for 8 years, and it's going to be the best presidency this country has ever had. And I am not taking this job with an expectation of becoming president. I don't think that's the right basis. I'm taking it to work with him in the Carter administration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice. Thank you.